Good morning. I call this regular special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. It is 10 o'clock on Thursday, October 27th. My name is Julie Fedorchuk. I'm chair of the commission. Also present with me are Commissioners Randy Christman and Sherry Hogan-Hoffert. So we have a quorum. In terms of opening comments, my opening comments today, I want to announce that I will be recusing myself from the Carbon Summit Solutions Pipeline application. That is case number PU-22-391. I have the disclosure form filled out and ready to go to the Ethics Commission later today. But just in summary, my husband and I have some land in Oliver County, and we have already a year ago signed a contract with Summit Carbon Solutions to store the CO2 that will be transported by this pipeline. Technically, that is a totally separate case and project. They're correlated, and I feel that it's in the best interest of the commission to have a third decision maker who has no connection at all to this project or this company. And so I have opted to recuse myself from that case. Having said that, I just want to make two comments about that, about the case and the industry as a whole. So, first of all, it was having received the that case last week. The company has pledged to have, you know, as much as 100% of those easements required for that project secured voluntarily. They were nowhere near that amount in terms of the application that they filed with us, and so I support my colleagues and whoever replaces me efforts to refrain from making a decision on that project until there's a more sizable number of easements received voluntarily. That's important consideration in the overall minimal impact consideration that we look at, and I think it's important for the company to make good on its claims of getting the majority of those easements by voluntary negotiations with the landowners. And then secondly, this project is getting a lot of attention both in North Dakota and nationally. And it really speaks to the very early emergence of a significant new industry, not only in North Dakota, but in the U.S. and in the world. And as we work to find the balance between fossil fuel use, which our society depends on, and addressing reducing CO2 emissions, carbon capture and storage is a really important tool for allowing the future development and use of fossil fuels while also meeting some of the environmental goals that so many in this world think need to be achieved. And so I have high hopes for North Dakota to find a way to be a leader in this. We have incredible opportunities in our state just with the geology that we've been blessed with and the opportunities that we already have in the coal mining and electric generation and in the oil and gas development. So I think, you know, it's really important that we find a way forward on this project and others to be a leader in that industry. And this is the very first, one of the very first efforts to do that in a large scale way. And I just hope that we can all come together as North Dakotans to find a good path forward that addresses everybody's needs as much as possible. So with that, I don't think I have any more opening comments, Commissioner Christman.
Well, I have quite a few, and first of all, based on that, I'm glad you pointed out that technically you didn't have the issue with this case, but I support your decision to go the extra mile, and since there's kind of an interconnection between, you know, two different things, making the decision you've made. I don't think you'd have been required to, but I support your decision. And as we have so often done, going kind of beyond, above and beyond what's required to make sure we do things the right way here at the North Dakota Public Service Commission. And you're certainly going to be missed as a part of this case, because I think you've been our portfolio holder on siting for quite a long time already and have done an excellent job. But we have also excellent staff that will help us get through it, and so we'll miss you on that case. But and speaking of excellent staff, just a few things. I just finished a couple days of SPP-related meetings. Not as many days of meetings as what I was gone for, thanks to the dreadful service of the American Airlines system these days. But anyway, the meetings in Little Rock came about, and we had some really tough decisions because some of the membership was wanting a certain amount of certain types of waivers from some of the tough decisions on planning reserve margin and other resource adequacy issues that we made last July. And a lot of people didn't want any waivers, and along the way I became convinced that at least a very limited waiver was appropriate. And I was so pleased with our staff led by Victor Shook. I felt like I was one of the ones who was best informed of things every step of the way as we got down there, and I'm just very grateful for that. And we ended up passing a very limited waiver, and so feeling very good about the accomplishments there. And barring a special meeting, there will be some educational sessions and things like that, potentially some appointments to various working groups and task forces. But this probably will be my last official meeting as president of the Regional State Committee. Then along the way, of course, South Dakota being a part of that, and her flight to Little Rock coming out of Sioux Falls was very close in timing to Victor Shook's flight from North Dakota and getting to Dallas. And then both ways they were on the same flight from Little Rock to Dallas and vice versa. Commissioner Feagin had an accident and broke a bone in her foot. And just the morning she was departing, didn't realize quite how serious it was. And by the time she got to Dallas and sat on the plane for a couple hours, there was not even walking. Victor had the good judgment, knowing that she had had this injury, to just go check at her incoming gate, even though it was nowhere near his incoming gate. And sure enough, she had arrived, and they had a wheelchair, but they had no staff to assist her. And so he got her to the next gate. When we were down there the first night, we were out for dinner, and one of the SPP people knew of someone with one of those scooters that you rest your injured knee on, but it was broken. And As you'd expect, knowing Victor, I got there and he had borrowed some tools from somebody and was outside the restaurant, and he fixed that scooter. It worked perfectly the whole time we were down there, and he took her through the worked the airports the other way and got her on her flight to Sioux Falls yesterday. And she sent me this text: thanks a million to Victor, who's my hero today. He was amazing and helped me every step of the way. Deserves the biggest badge of honor ever. Aww. And sometimes it's even outside of what we do in our official capacity and how we represent the agency and the state of North Dakota. And so really proud of that. The last thing I want to mention is, you remember with the whole 988 suicide prevention hotline and the great actions that this agency took last fall to make some changes and prevent us from having go to 10-digit dialing, even if you're just calling across the street to your neighbor. If not for the actions of the PSC, we would have a 10-digit dialing requirement, like most people around the nation do, but it is a nuisance when you're used to 7 digits. And we managed to pull that off. However, that is a short-term fail-safe. We've got our filings in with the FCC. We have a plan that could extend our 7-digit dialing for many, many years. But being part of a federal government, they just keep foot-dragging, and I don't know how that's ever going to go. In the meantime, twice a year, they evaluate each area code around the nation to see like what their projected exhaustion date is when they'd have to split up and then everyone would go to 10-digit dialing and half the state would get a new area code. And this fluctuates depending on applications coming in. Along the way, Victor has assigned this task to Jerry, who is working with new companies that request blocks of numbers. And, you know, the simple way to ask for that is to just get a whole NXX and you get 10,000 numbers. And sometimes they might need a half a dozen numbers, but they always look through vacant NXXs and they just want that. And it has to be granted if they push for it. We have like a couple of days to try and talk them out of that. And if not, they can force it and the feds will approve that. But we have been doing, Jerry has been doing such a wonderful job that, and of course this can fluctuate if we get a real big application or something. This kind of goes up and down. But from early this year until the new report that came out last week, our projected exhaustion date went from the second quarter of 2028 to the third quarter of 2030.
Wow.
25 awesome. Months farther out at this point in time. Sheesh. So kudos to our staff, one of the only ones in the industry, and this is all just something that, again, we can't force them to do the things that we're getting them to do just by being North Dakota nice and North Dakota persuasive. And they're getting it done somehow. And so kudos to them. And I'll have some more things on an agenda item for some of our other staff, but a couple of things where I was just thought should be noted.
Excellent. Very good. Congratulations, Jerry, and thank you for working so hard and just, you know, going the extra mile to do things right. Yeah. And Victor, don't be getting any ideas of moving down to South Dakota to work for Vegan. I'm calling her. But thank you for being such a, just a good friend to Christy and helping her out. That was awesome.
Good morning, everyone. Julie, Commissioner Fedorchuk, I respect your decision to recuse yourself. I think when a commissioner makes that decision is after a long and thoughtful process. So I agree with your decision on that. Victor, kudos to you on being a man of service. I'll keep you on speed dial the way my life has been going. And Jerry, job well done. Thank you to the staff. And I agree with Randy as we look at, especially our consent agenda, there's other kudos that go out to the staff, and I'm sure you will acknowledge it. So that's all I have for this morning. Thank you.
Okay, we have our consent agenda before us. Randy, you had something to change on that?
I request that consent agenda item RC1 be moved to regular order.
Okay, barring any opposition to that, we'll go ahead and make that change. And did you want it to be a new RC1?
Yeah, we can just call it RC2, I guess. Then the other one can at least stay RC1.
Okay, I forgot how many you had. Okay, RC2. Okay. That will be moved. Okay, so with that, we have a couple items on remaining on consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Moving to the regular agenda, I have one item. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Northern States Power Company 2021, natural gas rate increase case number PU-21-381.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. Okay, so this is a rate case that we received from NSP for an increase to their natural gas rates in North Dakota. We received this a year ago in 2021, September of 2021. I appreciate you seconding this motion, Randy, because we do have another motion later on the agenda that may be the majority, but I wanted to discuss this case. It was in my portfolio, and so I have this motion and an order that I'm bringing forward today. So NSP, just to provide some background, NSP filed with the commission an application to increase their rates for North Dakota natural gas customers by about $7 million. That was a 10.5% rate increase. The company and staff, advocacy staff, worked out a settlement agreement and filed that settlement agreement with us. In the settlement agreement between the company and advocacy staff, the revenue increase was reduced to $5 million. That's a so that would make it a 7.5% increase versus 10.5% increase. Advocacy staff worked hard to reduce the request by nearly $2 million, which is almost a 30% decrease in the overall revenue requirement. This is really important work that the advocacy staff does. I think it's important for ratepayers to know that we have these staff out there working on their behalf to make sure that what the company is seeking to do is prudent and necessary and in the best interest of the customers and the long-term stability of the company. It's been 15 years since NSP's last rate case, and a lot in that company has changed. For example, they have increased customers by 40% since the last rate case. They had 43,000 customers in 2007, and today 60,000 customers. Significant capital investments drove this rate case, including a Fargo expansion project, in which the company invested $50.5 million in the last 2 years, and refurbishing three peaker facilities, of which North Dakota's share was nearly $6 million. So they're investing heavily in their system, which is needed at this point. I support the revenue requirement settlement agreed to by the company and advocacy. And notably, there was an intervener in this case, the AARP, and they also expressed no objection to the revenue figure, which again was an increase of $5 million or 7.5%. The settlement agreement also covered the class cost of service study and class revenue apportionment. The settlement agreement attempts to move the residential class closer to its cost of service, thereby reducing the subsidization of that class by the commercial firm in interruptible cases. AARP opposed this and offered a different solution. For my part, in this order, I believe moving the rate classes closer to their cost of service is an important goal, and it helps ensure that rates are just and reasonable without undue discrimination. The proposal in the settlement does this in a gradual way that improves parity while avoiding rate shock. So I support this approach, and the order I'm bringing forward supports the settlement agreement in this way. Where I depart from the settlement agreement is in its proposed rate design. I acknowledge and in some respects agree with the rationale of the straight fixed variable rate design in theory. In practice, however, and at this time, the rate design has a number of shortcomings. So first of all, NSP has made significant investments in its natural gas system since their last rate case in 2007. In fact, had it not been for the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, NSP gas customers would have already seen a rate case several years ago. The regional vice president for NSP, Greg Chamberlain, said as much in his direct testimony. So had it not been for the tax cuts and the ability of the company to use that money to begin covering the cost of the manufactured gas plant reclamation, North Dakota customers would have likely seen a rate hike in 2017 or 2018. Since then, the company has invested even more in system upgrades. In 2018, 2019, and 2020, the company invested $27.4 million in its North Dakota distribution system. I mention this because these investments would have triggered another rate case, so we would likely still be here today, but determining the second rate case in just a handful of years. Also, in their testimony, the company indicated that compliance with PHMSA's Distribution Integrity Management Program, called DIMP, will require, quote, annual programmatic investments in renewing aging mains and service pipe, beginning in 2022. So why do I bring this all up? Well, it's because all of this underscores the fact that NSP's system is both aging and growing. The company was understandably clear in this rate case that in order to continue meeting system needs, additional investments and therefore revenues from customers are going to be required. In my opinion, the facts are quite evident. This long period of limited rate cases is in the past. As the gas system ages, the options for avoiding increased costs are limited, and we're going to continue seeing requests for increased rates. So as the rate regulator, my job, our job, is to seek the best, most fair way to generate from customers the revenues needed to maintain system safety and reliability. That's our goal. Safety and reliability at the lowest possible cost. As we address this rate case and look ahead to the future, forcing all of these significant new costs into one basic service charge that every residential customer, regardless of use, must pay to receive service is not the best or the most fair way to generate these revenues from the residential class. The straight fixed variable is not without merit, but it is a blunt instrument that smears all new investments into one bucket and divides that equally between customers regardless of use. To this end, it significantly disadvantages lower users to the benefit of higher users. So as we enter an area of rising costs, I think a more refined rate design is warranted, one that gives customers more control of their bill. Now is the time to reinstill the two-part billing for residential customers that includes a fixed charge and a volumetric usage charge. This is particularly relevant in the current case where many of the system investments that drove the need for the rate case, those being the Fargo Capacity Project and the peaking plant refurbishments, those are capacity improvements. To the extent that demand among residential customers varies, which we know it does, capturing some of the residential customers' rates in a demand-based charge is more fair and more accurate. It ensures that higher users pay more for their higher demand. Customers who want a stable rate throughout the year can choose balanced billing. Furthermore, many of the benefits of the straight fixed variable rate design that have been touted for customers have not materialized in any meaningful way. The company claims the straight fixed variable rate design eliminates any disincentive to promote energy conservation and provides for a lower return on equity. However, NSP did not provide any material evidence of their efforts to promote energy conservation, nor did they provide any evidence that in the 18 years of using the straight fixed variable rate design, North Dakota customers increased conservation or energy efficiency. Regarding return on equity, the promises are equally hollow. In Colorado, for example, XL customers have a $12 basic service charge, and yet the company has a 9.57% ROE, notably less than the 9.8% agreed to for North Dakota in this settlement, which assumed the continuation of the straight fixed variable rate. So in summary, I believe a more reasonable and balanced approach for this commission is to part from the straight fixed variable rate design for residential customers. A two-part rate design better reflects differences between residential customers. This order agrees with all the elements of the settlement agreement, except for the rate design. In that regard, it proposes to maintain the residential customer charge at its current rate of $18.48 and adds a delivery service charge of 0.5 cents per therm. With the infrastructure investment that's occurring now and in the future, combined with more volatile gas rates and major changes in our utility systems, customers should have more tools and choices to help them control costs. This is a small, measured, but important step in that direction, and I would urge my colleagues to support me.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, on the one part that you discussed about, I don't recall exactly how you put it, but you know, not a lot of evidence that they've done much to promote conservation. I think the alternative motion will lay out an ordering item for them to report some things. And I know at a previous work session, I was pretty hard on our utility companies in general, but it was in discussing this case for not doing much more than just throwing out a couple times a year that you can sign up for the LIHEAP program. In reflecting further on that work session, I do believe in annual reports that there has been a fair amount of money spent by XL and maybe the others on conservation programs. And I was going to investigate that more leading up to this until I seen that alternative, that part of that order is for them to report on that. And then it just occurred to me that, you know, I was probably going to have myself and especially staff to spend a whole lot of our time doing homework that they're going to be doing anyway if that order is approved. So I do want to acknowledge that some of their annual reports, I believe, talk about kind of the things they've been doing every year that I wasn't so aware of. So I'm going to point that out since I had made those comments in the work session. Just regarding the whole strict variable rate design, well, before I get into that, another thing, and you had kind of mentioned it, I just want to reemphasize that the settlement agreement did find a lot of cost savings from the original application. I know you talked about it. I don't think it can be emphasized enough. This wasn't just a shrug our shoulders and say, yeah, whatever they want. This was significantly reduced from the original application. But on the merits of the straight fixed variable rate design, you know, depending on how you calculate, do you ever get there? We talk about gradualism and moving toward a better balance. I don't think it's as balanced even yet, although I hate to see these increases, but that is just the energy industry. And when we compare to other states like Colorado, that was a point made by AARP and not explored very thoroughly. I don't know what other things are going on down there, but I've seen a whole lot of surveys and commentary done where North Dakota is one of the low energy cost states. And rates very favorably compared to Colorado. So I don't know what's missing in that equation either. But I do want to say, when it comes to straight fixed variable, and not my own words, I'm going to quote a previous order that's pretty old, but I think it rings as true today as it did in 2007 when it was written by Commissioner Tony Clark, who left here and became a FERC commissioner. He wrote, when this commission first approved the rate design, it was for sound economic and cost allocation reasons that continue to this day. It lessens unfair rate subsidizations and helps mitigate the cost of utility bills in high-use gas months here on the Northern Plains. This is as much of
And this is as much an issue of environmental awareness and conservation as it is of sound economics. Environmental advocates have rightly noted that recovering fixed costs through volumetric charges creates the perverse incentive for utility companies to resist conservation. After all, if gas use declines, so does the utility's revenue. The rate design we have adopted ensures that companies can recover their prudently incurred costs while becoming partners in conservation. This is critical because even a small drop in gas demand can have a disproportionate impact on the market cost of the gas itself. In an era of high natural gas prices, the importance of this pro-conservation measure cannot be emphasized enough. Maybe some of that changed for a while since 2007 when gas prices were low, but now they're high again. I just thought that interesting, that I just think it sounds more like something that was written for today's discussion than one in 2007. And so while I seconded the motion and you thanked me for it, maybe you won't be thanking me for it after I vote contrary to this motion, but I do think that there's a better alternative for this rate case, and so I'm going to be voting against the motion.
Appreciate that, Randy. I studied that and the original case very in depth before I developed my opinion, and have a great deal of respect for Tony. I think times were very different in 2007, and I don't know if I made it clear enough about why I think this is important now to consider, but I'm going to do it one more time. We're going to be going into an era of significant rate increases for replacing gas systems that are aging. And I don't think it's sustainable to continue for residential customers with this blunt instrument of taking all the costs that are we've decided are, you know, appropriately assigned to that class, dividing them up and putting in a basic service charge. Just, it's not as refined as it could be. And I can say this with my own experience, having moved from a smaller house to a bigger house in the last year, we use a lot more energy. We just do. The demand is different. And I think what this approach does is it allows people who, it includes a portion of the rate, a small portion, recognizes that maybe not absolutely everything that we're smearing into this tariff is exactly equal depending on customer. Because there's a lot that's smeared in here. There's the peaking plants. There's the Fargo gas plant expansion. And it's assuming that absolutely everything the company is doing is the same for every single residential customer. What I'm proposing here says maybe some of that does vary with customer. And so let's assume that that's true and provide for a portion of the rate to be variable by use. I just think it's a lot more fair. And moving forward, as we face more and more rate increases, I think it's just going to be a better tool to allow for some variance between this big, broad residential class where we know that customers use different amounts. So that's why I think times are different than they were when this first was proposed and supported by Tony Clark and the commission then. And I think the company's promises of the conservation have been hollow. They had plenty of opportunity during the hearing. I know I asked probably three times or more for evidence of their efforts on conservation. We got virtually nothing from them during the hearing. So if they had it in their annual reports, it would have been really simple for them to provide it. So anyway, that's why I think this is the right time to make this pretty small change.
Well, thank you both for your insight. Looking at this rate case, one could really look, I mean, go either way at the beginning on the evidence. So I really dug into looking at with staff some past history on really volumetric versus basic rate. And we look back 3 years with the staff, 2021, 22, and 23, to really get a, because I'm a visual person. And it became kind of evident to me during high usage months, volumetric rate would be higher. And that's the season that we're coming into right now. And it became pretty evident looking over the 3 years. So, Julie, I appreciate all your efforts and well summarized of the case, but where we differed is absolutely on the volumetric versus base rate. And that's why I've come up with another order. And some of those things the Commissioner Chrisman brought up as far as conservation, what we propose in the order will put some responsibility on the company. But I look at the volumetric rate, as I indicated, during high usage month, the rates will be higher for the residential customer. I find the volumetric rate to be more confusing, that on the bill that they will see the volume rate plus a base rate plus another volume rate. And when we looked at those, like I want to emphasize, during the high winter months, their rates will be higher. So just those two factors alone swayed me not to go with a volumetric, and my proposed order will outline the agreement with the two settlements proposed. Looking at our current economic status, we all have a sense of responsibility in conservation, and to put it always on the company is not fair. I mean, we all have that sense of responsibility, and there are options for all of us to do, and it might not be easy, but looking forward for these companies to have a good best practices on financial planning and how to deal with that makes good sense to me. So I will be voting against this order.
I definitely agree that it isn't the responsibility, you know, that it's a shared responsibility between customers and the company. I just resist companies touting things that they can't quantify and material show that they actually did. If it's not a benefit to customers, then they shouldn't tout it as one. So, and to the issue of higher months, higher billing in the winter months, there is the balanced billing available that it would allow customers to spread their average costs over the whole year and reduce that that higher amount that they would have to pay in the winter on top of already higher usage. So I think that's a nice tool that helps mitigate that issue if you were to go to the two-part rate design.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay.
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 Motion fails.
All righty. Well, thank you for that interesting discussion. Randy, you're up.
Don't you have two more?
Yeah, you have another one.
What?
Huh. You have two more.
I don't have them. Why don't you come back to me with those? I literally don't have those in my folder.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead. I'll come back to these.
Okay, this first one is a long motion, so get ready to write fast if you're writing it down to make sure it's printed right in front of you. Believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate these cases for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code 69-02-04-04 and issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing in Northwest Dakota Cellular of North Dakota Limited Partnership, designated eligible carrier, application, case number PU-22-384. North Central RSA 2 of North Dakota Limited Partnership,
designed eligible carrier application case number PU-22-385. North Dakota RSA number 3 limited partnership designated eligible carrier application case number PU. -22-386. Badlands Cellular of North Dakota Limited Partnership, designated eligible carrier application, case number PU-22-387. And North Dakota 5, Kidder Limited Partnership, designated eligible carrier application, case number PU-22-388.
Second.
So on October 10th, applications for modification of order were filed by those five partnerships, and they're all doing business as Verizon Wireless. Verizon Wireless seeks to eliminate paragraph 8 from our order, from our original order granting eligible telecommunication carrier status to each entity, and that was dated October 22nd of 2003, so 19 years ago. That paragraph 8 requires each entity to file quarterly reports to the commission describing the status of its wireless E911 implementation in North Dakota. The two issues to be considered here are whether we should eliminate the requirement to file the quarterly 911 implementation reports, and is there any other relevant information the commission should consider. So anyone interested is invited to comment on the application in writing. If someone is wanting a hearing, they must file a request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. And comments on and the request for hearings must be received by December 9th. And I want to point out, if deemed appropriate, we can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and RSC 2, which if someone's following along and seems confusing, was originally on the consent calendar as RSC 1. So I move the commission accept the Federal Office of Surface Mining's 2022 evaluation reports for the Coal Regulatory and Abandoned Mine Lands Program. So, OSM, the Office of Surface Mining, recently issued their evaluation reports for our regulatory program on the active mines and the abandoned mine land programs, and this is for the evaluation year that ended this past June 30th. No issues or concerns were raised on either of those reports, and OSM continues to report that this commission has effective and efficient coal regulatory and AML programs. Something to keep in mind when we're downstairs in the first 4 months of next year with the legislature and really throughout the biennium. I want to just highlight a few quotes out of each of those reports. These first three are from the Abandoned Mine Lands Evaluation Report. First quote, "The state administers an excellent abandoned mine land reclamation program in full compliance with their approved AMLR plan." Second quote, "Since the program's inception, the North Dakota Abandoned Mine Land Division has conducted 176 primary reclamation projects, 33 emergency projects, and numerous construction, maintenance, and sinkhole filling projects at a total cost of over $60.9 million of federal funds, almost 38.3 miles of linear dangerous surface mine pits and high walls, and over 1,380 acres of underground mine subsidence have been reclaimed. These projects have reduced the likelihood of death or injury to property owners and the public." And the third quote on AML, "The North Dakota Public Service Commission maintains a very cost-effective program with only 14% of the grant dedicated to administrative costs. The remainder of the grant is spent on project design and construction." Then I want to move, I picked a few quotes out of the Active Mind regulatory program. First quote, based on the topics evaluated this year, North Dakota has an effective program with no issues in need of corrective action. A second quote, the North Dakota Public Service Commission has a very good working relationship with their customers that include industry, landowners, citizen groups, and other or government agencies, including the Office of Surface Mining. The Reclamation Division carries out its duties using the appropriate technical expertise with a high level of professionalism. OSM has determined that for evaluation year 2022, North Dakota has been successful in implementing its regulatory mine land program. And the last quote on reclamation, the North Dakota Public Service Commission staff continues to implement the program in a professional, cooperative, and fair manner. The Reclamation Division uses new technology to become more efficient and makes information more readily available to the public. The North Dakota PSC has the necessary technical expertise for carrying out its functions to ensure that all of the requirements of SMCRA are met. I asked some of our team to be down here today to just hear that, and I'm glad that we are able to broadcast these meetings and show how technical, how caring, and how diligent they are. I could not be more proud of our team upstairs that does this work. They're a credit to this agency and the state of North Dakota.
We have Randy. A motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Randy, I want to acknowledge you for moving this over to the regular agenda, because when I read this motion in the report and the excerpts that were there, I wondered how we were going to acknowledge the staff for a job well done, because I thought about putting it in my opening comments, but we hadn't reviewed it as the agenda. So like you, I want to acknowledge the staff. To read these excerpts were just kind of mind-blowing, to talk about the professionalism, the good working relationship with customers, the innovation that you guys have on implementing new technologies and stuff. So I want to say a job well done.
I will jump in as well. You guys have had an amazing year. I mean, there's been a lot of extra things on top of just the regular work. And you've gone above and beyond to complete those as well as the regular duties. And not to mention the restaffing of virtually the entire two operations in the last several years has occurred within this. And pretty seamlessly, the team we have is amazing. It's been a lot of hard work hiring this team and getting this team in place. And we've never, I think, felt better about where we're at the commission with our staff. And so great work. You're continuing a really proud tradition that was set up by folks before you. And it's really awesome to see these kinds of your work recognized by outsiders like OSM. I do wish that we would have an opportunity to review OSM and the higher ups there, because their review would not be nearly as high by us, because they have some serious shortcomings in how they manage the federal coal reserves in this country. But I've spouted off on that many times in the past, so I won't again. But thank you very much. It's an honor to work with you all.
Please pass our sentiments around the 13th floor.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. Sherry, we'll turn over to you and we'll circle back to me at the end.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. I move the Commission adopt the finding of facts, conclusion of law, and order in Northern States Power Company 2021 Natural Gas Rate Increase, case number PU21-381.
Second.
Commissioner Fedorchak had the initial order, and she did a really good job summarizing the case that has been outstanding for over a year. Where we differ is on the rate design. So I am just going to go to the order and read what the commission orders on this. So the settlement agreement, revenue requirement, and class cost of service revenue apportionment and rate design are adopted and approved in their entirety that is submitted. NSP shall file for the commission approval compliance rate schedules consistent with this order within 30 days. NSP shall issue an interim rate refund to its customers as provided for in the revenue requirement settlement agreement. Upon completion of the revised natural gas rates, the annual $1.25 million Fargo manufactured gas project remediation amortization expense will be recovered via the cost of gas rider until the remaining deferred balance has been fully amortized. NSP shall provide a filing detailing the existing energy conservation methods employed by the company. To the extent possible, the filing must demonstrate the impact that revenue decoupling has had on encouraging energy efficiency. We have discussed this order at length, I believe, Julie, with your order. Commissioner Chrisman and I do not support a volumetric rate that we are going to go with the proposed settlement as agreed upon for the revenue requirement in which AARP did agree to, but opposed the class cost of service. We are supporting the base rate. And this order complies with the settlement agreement as brought forth.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will just reemphasize that that last order item on requiring NSP to provide that file detailing the existing energy conservation methods. I think that's going to be really interesting because, like I'd mentioned earlier, I think on reflection, there has been some work done. The question is it effective work? I really can't speak very well to what they've done other than they've said they have expended these efforts. And, you know, if it was effective and has moved the needle, I think they need to update us on the cumulative annual reports, maybe, better than what they did in the hearing. And if they're spending on money and, you know, have potentially run out of ideas and they're just doing the same thing and it's stuff that doesn't work, then we need to know that as well. And, you know, if we can't come up with something better, well, then acknowledge that. Or maybe if when we discuss it more and focus on it more, maybe we can come up with better ideas together working with the company or something. But it is important as part of what we're approving here and the program, as we've done it in the last couple decades, that these efforts be made. And so I just emphasize that. I think that's a key part of this order that does take place.
I think that's a really important step. I'm pleased to see that number 5 in the ordering provision. And I look forward to seeing what the company brings forward. And I hope that my comments in favor of a volumetric charge and moving away from the straight fixed variable help encourage the company to deliver more on the promises that they do believe exist. The benefits for existing customers, one of the biggest one being this, their willingness to encourage energy efficiency. And so I would urge them to go even beyond what number 5 requires them to do and bring forth additional ideas that they might be using in other states to help promote energy efficiency and encouraging that in customers.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Motion is approved.
I move the Commission adopt the order in the Otter Tail Power Company Economic Development Rates Case Number PU22-322.
Second. Sorry, I had the wrong order in front of me. But I found it now. And second.
Oh. Thank you, Randy. On July 14th, 2022, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for approval of an electric service agreement, ESA, with North Dakota soybean processors. On August 17th, 2022, the commission issued a notice of opportunity of hearing, and no response were received. On September 22nd, the commission discussed the matter with Otter Tail Power Company during an informal hearing. The ESA meets the criteria for Otter Tail Power Company's economic development rate rider, including a greenfield customer, expected meter demand of at least 500 kilowatt at a single metering point, seasonal load factor that is above the seasonal average load factor and above the seasonal class otherwise applicable rate code. The North Dakota soybean processor will be constructing a soybean crusher with the capacity to crush up to 42.5 million bushels per year and be operational by 2024. So this load and associated energy will cause Otter Tail Power Company to incur marginal energy, transmission, and customer cost. Otter Tail has incorporated these marginal costs into the rate calculation model that was filed in case PU17-389. The proposed rate for North Dakota soybean processor will recover revenue that is equal to or exceeds the marginal cost demonstrated by the rate calculation model. Having considered this matter, the Commission finds the electric service rate results in a reasonable, in just and reasonable rate. So therefore approving this motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission adopt the order in Montana Utilities Company High Dense Contracted Demand Response Tariff and Rates Case Number PU22-337.
Second.
On August 1st, 2022, MDU had filed an application to implement a High Density Contracted Demand Response Tariff. On August 17th, the Commission suspended the tariff and rates and issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. No comments or requests for hearing were received. On October 5th, the Commission held an informal decision to discuss the application with MDU. The proposed tariff established a procedure for calculating a rate which MDU can offer for to eligible customers in cases where the customer has demonstrated it is seeking rate offers from various utilities. Eligible customers are defined as customers with expected meter demand of at least 10,000 kilowatt at a single metering point, customers with an expected minimum load factor of 85%, and customers who may be interrupted up to 200 hours per year. Any ESA under this tariff must have a minimum term of 3 years, but not to exceed 5 years. MDU will create an individual pricing structure for each ESA under this tariff that will recover the incremental cost of providing service to that customer. The proposed tariffs provides that the commissioner must approve the specific ESA offered to any customer. And we support this ESA for MDU.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I wanted to just make a comment on that last note that Sherry made there, that proposed tariff must, or provides that the commission must approve this specific ESA offer. The way that's worded makes it sound like we have to, like, we must approve it.
Oh.
And really, they have to bring it to us for approval.
Right.
And we have to review and approve it. So it could be confusing, like we have no choice but to approve it, but that's not true. We have every right to disapprove it as well. So I just wanted to make that clear. And that's important. Yes. Because we get to review every single one of these and make sure it's the best. It's in the best interest of the ratepayers. So.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. Believing there will be no prejudice to the rights of the party or the public interest, the finding that cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate these cases for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-04-04 and issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Applied Blockchain Office, Dickey County, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU22-366, and Montana Dakota Utilities Company Applied Blockchain Data Processing Extension, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU22-370.
Second.
On October 14th, MDU, an electrical public utility, filed applications under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-03 to extend service to Applied Blockchain at two locations in Dickey County, North Dakota. MDU has made a prima facie showing that it should serve the customers at both locations. Any interested party has a right to file written objections based on issues of public convenience and necessity with the Commission by December 12, 2022. If no objections are received by that date, the application may be granted as requested.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the Commission reduce the application fee to $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Electrical Service Agreement Applied Blockchain Approval, case number PU22-371.
Second.
On September 21st, 2022, Montana Dakota Utilities Company filed an application for approval for electrical service agreement with a new prospective customer. The agreement provides that the customer should take electrical service from MDU under a new high density response rate 45 schedule. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by December 8, 2022. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
This is another one for clarification for someone who might be listening. Just like the distinction between that we must approve a previous order in order for it to happen, as opposed to we must approve it, like we don't have any choice. In this case, when I read this, I almost flipped my top. I was thinking of the CPCN, which a competitor has indicated could very well be challenged as that eventually would come about. And why would we be reducing the filing fee way down, knowing it's going to be a long and protracted case, very likely? And so to emphasize, if people have been watching that and this just sounds like it, this is just the electric service agreement. The CPCN will be a separate thing, and I'm sure we'll have probably a bigger filing fee than what's left here.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Say, I have a question on both of those cases, Sherry, just because we know a party has already filed a request for a hearing. Will we be moving forward to schedule that hearing, or are we going to wait till this notice of opportunity for hearing expires and then set a hearing? I would prefer the former, because I think we should get it going, at least from a scheduling standpoint, but I don't know what the attorneys, what's required.
We will be getting ALJs assigned and attorneys figured out, and then we will move forward with scheduling a hearing. We don't need to wait until the grace period expires.
Yeah. Okay, good. Very good. Okay. All done?
Yes. So, back to you.
Alrighty. Thank you. Sorry about the confusion. I remember seeing these last week when I looked at the agenda, and so I'm sure that I misplaced these orders somewhere. So, thank you for providing them, and I will go back. I move the commission adopt the order in NSP Company Borderwinds Energy Project, Rolette County, citing application case number PU-22-173.
Second.
So this is an interesting repower case. NSP had filed this with us back in March, and we've had an informal hearing with them and talked through this. So basically, NSP wants to repower this wind project. There's 75 turbines. They want to replace the current turbines with new technology. It will consist of removing and replacing the existing blades, hub, gearbox, pad mount transformer, and generator with a new repower package of the same, only a different model. They were 100-2.0 package, and now it's the 110-2.2 package. They will, replacing these mechanisms may require full nacelle replacement. The total nameplate generating capacity of the repower project will be 165 megawatts. But NSP will have to limit the output of at the point of interconnection to 150 megawatts in accordance with its interconnection agreement. All of the 75 Vestas turbines will reuse the existing 95-meter structural steel towers, and as a result, turbine locations will not change. NSP plans to use existing turbine foundations with reinforcement if needed. Collection and communication systems, permanent access roads, and project substation with upgrades to accommodate the repower technology as needed. The hub height of the turbines will remain at 95 meters. Existing access roads will be temporarily widened during installment of the repowering technology to accommodate the delivery and staging of components and equipment. Temporary crane paths may also be needed to facilitate removal and installation, and a temporary laydown yard located near the existing operations and maintenance building will also be used for this repower project. Temporary impacted areas will be restored in compliance with the applicable provisions in our Commission's 2011 order. The repowering activities will occur wholly within the site designated by the Commission for the project. Let's see here. They conducted a new sound assessment. Initial modeling determined that the sound may exceed the 45 dBA agreed to within 100 feet of 6 occupied residences. So to address this issue, STE blades were added to 10 turbines. I can't remember that acronym at this point. But they're I think they have some sort of a different edge to reduce their sound as they cut through the wind. And so they were added to 10 different turbines. And with this modification, sound levels for the repower project do not exceed the 45 dBA within 100 feet of any occupied residence or community building. They also completed shadow flicker assessments, and those will not exceed 30 hours per year or less at all occupied residences. There has been concurrence from the state SHPO that no significant sites will be affected by the repower project. NSP provide information as planned for disposal of turbine components removed in connection with the repower project. And their options for disposal of the blades and hub spinners include waste energy, reuse, or recycling. And they will not dispose of blades or hub spinners at the repower project site. And there'll be a little bit more on the disposal at the end of this order. Let's see. One of the turbines does not meet the current exclusion area of 1 1/10 the height of the turbine from property line of a non-participating landowner. However, NSP plans to obtain a written waiver from the affected non-participating landowner and requests that the Commission grant a variance of the non-participating property line setback conditioned upon them obtaining and filing a copy of the written waiver with the Commission prior to installing the repower technology on that turbine number T57. And absent receipt of the waiver, NSP shall not install the repower technology on that turbine. So with all those components and an additional one, we had extensive discussion with the company on how they plan to dispose of the components. It's probably one of the biggest issues in the repowering. And we know that there's been a lot of concerns in other states about how this has been done, where these blades are disposed of. And we don't want North Dakota to become a graveyard of former wind tower blades disposed of on a landowner who is just willing to take them. So they have agreed that they will dispose of turbine components in accordance with the disposal plan outlined in their supplemental information. If solid waste disposal occurs in North Dakota, it shall be at a disposal facility permitted by the North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality, Division of Waste Management. So either they'll take them to a disposal site out of North Dakota, or they will dispose them in North Dakota at a approved facility here, approved and permitted. So with that in place, I think we, you know, thoroughly vetted this, had a lot of discussions with the company, and I think this order is ready to go.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, North Dakota Soybean Processors Incorporated, Cass County Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-22-362.
Second.
So this is on the same project that Sherry discussed earlier for the special tariff with Ottertail Power. They're providing electricity, and MDU is proposing to provide the gas for service at this location. So on September 7th, MDU filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct and operate a natural gas distribution system to serve the North Dakota Soybean Processors Incorporated facility near Castleton. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are, is there a need for this service? Is MDU technically, financially, and managerially fit and able to provide this service? What is the effect on other public utilities providing similar service? And is the proposed service adequate? Comments and requests for hearings must be received by December 12th of 2022, and if deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right. Matt, while I'm looking at announcements, can you see if there's anyone online for questions?
Those of you on the phone bridge, members of the media, dial star 9 to speak.
All right, so just looking ahead.
Seeing none, Commissioner.
Okay, good. I'll just make the announcements, then we can move on. Let's see. Next week, we have a public input session on the electrification of transportation. This is our investigation. The public is invited to participate in that. I believe we have online options for participation. Phone and then in person. And that's 2 p.m. on November 3rd. We really look forward to getting a good amount of information from the public on that. On the 10th, we have an information exchange meeting with NSP. That will be here at 1:30. And then on the 17th of November, we have a public input session on our investigation into demand response programs. So both of those will be interesting. Looking forward to good input from our stakeholders and the public on both of those issues. Okay, so we don't have anyone interested in asking us any questions. All right, so do we want to take a short break, or do we want to move right into the admin agenda? What is your wishes?
I'm okay moving forward today.
Sherry, you so am I.
Okay, so do we even need to stop the recording?
Yeah, we'll stop and start.